It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 636. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message on Skype. The name is Mike Tech Show, all one word. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/miketechshow, and facebook.com/Mike Tech Show. This show is brought to you by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com or just visit instanthousecall.com. You can download the 15-day trial and please remember to use the promo code Mike Tech Show. The show is also brought to you by Malwarebytes Tech Bench Toolset, the all-in-one package of utilities to help you diagnose, repair, and secure Windows PCs. And their link is in the show notes every week. Sign up, try that out. The show tonight, I have a couple things I want to talk about that I stumbled onto for referrals for a community and some of the residents in that community, and how I turned this into a marketing opportunity. And it's all involving Verizon going to AOL. And it's interesting because that I thought that all was settled a few months ago, but there's still lingering effects on when the Verizon users have gotten migrated. A few people have fell in the cracks here during that, and they got locked out of their email. I'm going to go over the process of what I had to do for them. The next is peer server crash for a client that I spent all night last night working on. Got to talk about that. I literally was up all night long. And then cybersecurity presentations. I got a big one tomorrow for a CPA firm. Going to talk about that, how I've turned that into some marketing opportunities, and then a couple emails. So let's start. I get a call from a client that was referred from one of my financial advisor clients, and this lady has a problem getting her email and sending email. Her Outlook is no longer sending and receiving email, and her account is Verizon.net. And she said, our system's slow, all kinds of problems. I'm like, no problem. So last week I scheduled a visit, went out, beautiful, real high-end, over 55 community, beautiful houses in this development, gated community. And I go in and help her out. Such a nice person. We had to reset her password because she got caught in the transition for Verizon getting out of the email business, and they're moving everybody to AOL. So the way to do this, if you have to reset the password, you go to AOL.com, log in with your Verizon email account, and then pick forget password. It will then ask for a phone number for verification. Most of the users that I'm running into with this, it's their home phone, so they're not going to be able to get a text message. So they need to know what phone number the Verizon bill is set to. And it's probably the regular landline, but could be a cell phone. So you put the phone number in, and then it'll ask how you want it. So if you can't receive, it's not a cell phone, and you can't receive text message, click, you want the call. So now I get the prompt waiting for the code. Phone rings, AOL calls, they give them the code. I put the code in, and then we set a password that I write down for them. Now I can configure Outlook. I'm going to have a link for all the things you would need to know for moving Verizon. It's a help in Verizon Mail moving to AOL Mail. And that's the first link in the show notes tonight. I recommend IMAP if they're using Outlook or if they're just going on the web that, hey, that's easy. Problem solved. Now they can go into AOL email and they can get their email. I'm running into clients, a lot of clients that have Outlook and you got to configure it properly. So you need to know the ports. So if you use IMAP, it's imap.aol.com. Because remember, now the mail's AOL, but they still use the Verizon email address. Then for SMTP, and that's port 993, make sure it's secure. You're using SSL. Then the send port is smtp.aol.com, port 465. Works perfectly. Set the new password that we reset. Away we go. Now I begin doing my cleaning process. Start cleaning. Check out the system. Check the hard drive. Make sure the hard drives work. Is no errors. Clean everything up and then answer all questions. So I finish with this client, and then she asks me when I was done, and I always love this tip from Kate, and I have an email from her about something else tonight. When she leaves a client, she makes sure she gives extra business cards to that client. Refer me, because they were so happy, and they write me a check. I literally get a call the next day from a neighbor with the exact same problem. It's the same community. But there's one little extra bonus with this user. I go out, I literally have to do the exact same thing that I did for user one. Now, this second user. But this person is in charge of the website for the community. And there's a lot of houses in this development. She asked me for a stack of business cards. I gladly accommodate. And she says, I'm going to have you add it to our website as a preferred computer support company for everybody in this development. And I was like, thank you so much for that. I never thought of that. If you're helping someone in one of these communities, that they have their own website. And to get on there and to become a preferred vendor within that development, where all they're going to be doing is sharing your info, I intend to see many, many more opportunities in that area. And it's not that far away from me. It just kind of fell in my lap, and I wanted to plant that seed for anybody. You're looking for more work. How do you get your name out there more? How do you get more business? Well, this is a great way. If you're in any kind of a development or even at a residential house, you know, a nice upscale neighborhood, they probably have their own newsletter, their own website, their own meetings. This is a great place to get your info out there. And you already have a client. So you just got to keep the antennas up when you're at a client. Now, I want more business clients. But remember, this was a business client that referred me to one of his clients. Because you never know who you're going to run into with some of these. And that's how I'll do residential clients that are referred to me from business clients or other residential clients. And this is a client that's not going to go on Craigslist or try to look someone up. There's no haggling with your rate. There's no, and they give you a check right away. And that's what I want. You can't ask for more than that. If someone's paying the rate, whether I walk into a business or whether I walk into a home, do I care? As long as the check clears and it works, I will do the same work. Just wanted to share that. And there's going to be another marketing opportunity I'm going to talk about in a couple minutes. Let's begin yesterday with the phone call in the early afternoon. Power outage happened. Power comes back on. There is a UPS, but we went beyond the UPS. So the Pierce server went down hard. Shame on me. There was no serial port or USB to actually do a clean shutdown. This is just a Windows 7 Pierce server. But that server never booted correctly again. No problem. I dispatched my son to go pick up the system, bring it back. And I try to do the typical Windows 7 operating system repairs because ultimately, we want this system to boot. Now, I have the little portable backup drive, so I know I got the backups. I know there's a cloud backup. They use Mozy Pro, and I monitor that, so I know the backups are happening. I could not get this system to repair. I did everything. I spend about an hour trying to get this thing to boot. I'm like, this is not happening. I take the hard drive out. I take it over to my other computer, run Crystal Disk Info, and that thing just lights up that it's bad. There are lots of problems with this drive. So the hard drive's bad, and I'm having trouble even reading it because it keeps going up and down offline from being attached via a USB cradle. So now that hard drive, okay, it's bad. So not a problem here. The passport drive, I can't read. I try everything, and this has got the Shadow Protect backups on it. I now do not have an image backup to restore from. I'm like, uh-oh. I only have data that's being backed up online in the cloud for disaster recovery. We're in disaster recovery mode here with this box. It's a mechanical terabyte drive. I have one on the shelf, brand new. I will only mechanical drives. I will only use Western Digital Caviar Black. That's all I'll put into a machine if they have to have a mechanical drive. So I grab a new Caviar Black, put it in. Now I got to set up Windows 7 from scratch. That's horrible. Now it's a Dell Optiplex. You know, I have my USB to boot Windows 7 Pro, the tags on there with the key. So I get Windows 7 installed, I activate it, and now I know I'm going to, it's just massive, massive updates because I don't have a current slipstreamed Windows 7, so it's an original SP1. So now I got to rebuild apps, and that's a pain, but I have the data. Now there's 60 gig of data that's got to come down, and I got to start that process. That took 7 hours last night. And I got a gig up and down connection, but I'm at the mercy of the bandwidth that Mosey Pro can serve off to me for downloading. So I log in and I got it and I start the download of everything. I want it all. 7 hours. Then I get to start the backups. And the first round, though they started coming down pretty quick, I was really glad. I have not had troubles in the last few months in doing any kind of a clean Windows 7 install. The updates have been coming down. So clearly Microsoft fixed a lot of things with the Windows 7 updates. I can't upgrade to Windows 10 yet because we haven't vetted, although I know it'll work, but I didn't want to introduce another change like this for their green folders, Title Express, and a whole bunch of other applications. So I kept it pretty straightforward with just downloading all the data and getting that staged so then the apps could get installed today and then marry it up with the data and they're good. They're still going through things. Title Express is up. As a matter of fact, tonight I have to remote in and install QuickBooks. Then I got the keys and everything. So I have it on instant house call so I can remote in and I'll remote in tonight. I'll do QuickBooks. So I've got everything covered. Everything working. It's an inconvenience because they lost a day. They lost today with one of the apps because we need the vendor to help in getting this all done. So they kind of lose a day. And I was thinking, how can we minimize that downtime? Even having a secondary server, a peer system, we still got the same problem. We got to get the data over. I thought it was perfect. We had Shadow Protect and then Mosey Pro in the cloud. But what do you do when you can't even restore from Shadow Protect because the power failure took out the backup drive, the passport drive, and which there's no reason for that at all, for that to fail. I get the mechanical drive that's failing in the system. The system's a few years old. I get it. But to have the passport go bad too, not good. So I have to re-engineer my approach to some of these backups where we have these apps and what I'm doing for the cloud-based. I would love to have an image, but then I'm thinking, look how long it took just to get the data files. Could you imagine if I had the entire image coming down? That would be very, very difficult from the cloud. So I'd love to know what you're doing for cloud-based images of a system. And what service are you using and how fast is that if you ever had to do a full image recovery? That's one of my problems. And this is a very small company. We're talking only 3-4 users with a little peer server box for their apps and shared files. So after the first round of updates, I wanted to kick a second round of updates and then go to bed. we're talking 5 a.m. I'm finally going to bed today, and was up at 11 because my son took that system on site. And then we have to set up the things that you can only do when you're on site. So I remoted in. I had to set up some shares for the scans, for the scanner coming to it. And this, there was just a few other miscellaneous items that you can't do remotely that I needed that system hooked up on site so I could remote in. So tomorrow, I am giving another cybersecurity presentation where the attendees will get an hour continuing professional education credit and their CPAs. We did one little one like a month or so ago, and there was only a handful of people. We didn't have a lot of attendees, but it turned into opportunities. The one person who was a CPA hired me last week to come in and give a presentation to the entire company. Now, some people were just there to just learn for an hour of, you know, cybersecurity tips. The other people that are CPAs actually got a continuing education credit. With that, they have an IT company that they're happy with taking care of things. They want me to do a security audit. And I was actually there yesterday collecting the information from inside and checking out the server, checking out the firewall rules, all the policies. I have a list to go over. And this is just to verify how are they doing. So great opportunity. They have sort of an in-house go-to person that helps with the IT work. They're not a professional IT person, but they do the best they can. And then they have this outside organization where they buy their hardware, helps them with continuing if they have any problems or issues, but they wanted an evaluation of their antivirus, their security. How are they doing as an organization with like 9 CPAs? So it's nice having that relationship and getting that work, which I would have never gotten had I not been doing that presentation. So now tomorrow, we have a larger CPA firm that I'm going to be giving this to the entire organization. Now, they're an existing client, but I'm bringing the financial advisor that is looking for CPAs as partners because that's where they get a lot of business from and referrals. I've partnered with a financial advisor who wants CPAs and I want CPAs. So the two of us, and he's the one who signed up and got the whole program for being able to give this our cybersecurity training. And that's where he invited me because he's like, Mike, if I give this, if they ask any questions, I'm not going to be able to answer this. And then I was allowed to put my own touch on it by adding some slides that I didn't think they covered. They didn't cover encryption well. They didn't cover backups properly. So there was, you know, which fights ransomware. I got this very concise presentation, which very, very helpful. Some great handouts, which I've shared with everybody here for my 11 cyber tips, security tips. 1 hour getting in front of everybody, that will lead to more business. We're lining up two more firms to do this in December because CPAs are going to be too busy January through April. And they're busy up until October with the extensions. For a CPA to be able to get their attention and be able to get in there and do work, you have really just November and December to do upgrades, to do that. I mean, they're your critical months. These next 2 months, I'm focused on CPAs. I have a brand new retainer client that's an electrical company. It's a small retainer client, but they bought two new systems, you know, 4 monitors because they want to go dual monitors. We got the stands and we're all set for everything's in and actually everything's configured now, but we kind of pushed until after Thanksgiving for the install. And I can't wait to do that. And they have a full server and applications. I'll be maintaining that. They have no online backup today. So that's something that I'm going to implement and we'll take it from there. And I know I'm sure I'll have, you know, stories about that. One of the things I'm going to do, which is what I've just prepped before I started this show, have a client where their hard drive is going to fail because you're getting all those yellow alerts within Crystal Disk Info. Things are slower and the system's totally cleaned. Monday, my son's going to go out and clone the drive to an SSD. But it's Windows 7 and they still have TrueCrypt encryption on the laptop. So tonight I logged in, and with TrueCrypt, any TrueCrypts that are there, I like to decrypt them before I do the clone. Now you can clone, and we went over a procedure a while back where a listener wrote in on a BitLocker where they cloned the BitLocker drive. And then what you have to do, you got to have that recovery key that you're going to have to enter. I would rather decrypt the drive overnight the night before if I have that opportunity, and then do the clone drive because I know it's going to be clean. It's going to be a lot easier to clone the drive, and I know I'm not going to have any issues. Well, knock wood, I hope not. And then re-encrypt and do a whole disk encryption on the drive. That's my normal process in cloning. Tonight, I kicked off the decrypt so we can have that done before Monday. This is a good segue to the first email for tonight from Vanger. I read a text where you successfully cloned a hard drive to an SSD along with BitLocker. I've already had success with Aomi, A-O-M-E-I, Backupper, but tell me if you ever cloned with Veracrypt. With it, I get only with disk backup sector by sector. I have never used Veracrypt. I've mentioned that when TrueCrypt was having the problems and the support went away and future development for TrueCrypt. Mentioned Veracrypt because some listeners wrote in, but I've never really tested Veracrypt. And again, my advice is decrypt the drive. Take the time. You're going to save yourself, I think, a lot of headaches. I know it's longer to do, but you can kick that off and just let it go and then do the clone. Unless you're forced into an emergency clone and you don't have time to wait for it to decrypt, then you're going to have the procedures. And with Veracrypt, I would want to vet them and maybe their support forums or their tech support to find out what you could do. They might have a procedure for you for being able to clone a Veracrypt encrypted drive. I've never done it. If anybody's done that, let me know how you did that. So thanks for the email. Final email for tonight, and then we'll wrap up. This email is from Kate. Hi, Mike. I can't find the email now, but some time ago, I wrote asking for help with a Windows update that kept saying it's successfully installed, and it would say that every single day. Although it said it was installed, it never showed up in the list of installed updates for me to uninstall and then try again. This is KB2553065, a really old update for Office File Validation 2010 32-bit edition. Update on a Windows 10 1703 home machine, which was not running Office 2010 and never had. Puzzling. The suggestions for help were not applicable because the utility you suggested doesn't work in 1703 or better. So that was out. And there's no way I'm going to have this customer do the metered connection thing. I want her to get the rest of the updates. I was finally able to resolve this by using Revo Uninstaller Pro to completely remove the Microsoft PowerPoint Viewer. Turns out that was actually part of Office 2010, I guess. Anyway, after months of this stupid problem every day, we finally don't have it anymore. Thought I'd pass this on. There's a lot of garbage questions on the internet, but this one, which I actually thought of myself, worked. Why I didn't think of that months ago, I don't know. Hope this helps someone else. Weird problem. Kate, I love those. And anybody that shares those unique, interesting solutions to solve something that will stick in our brain after hearing this. So maybe you're not going to go crazy and you'll be like, hey, I remember that. Hold on. The PowerPoint Viewer was causing this with Office 2010. You know, there's so much out there. You want to hear it once to kind of log that stored away and see if we're ever going to need that. Now, I want to talk real quick, couple things. How do I approach upgrading a system? And we're going to be doing this on a couple computers where they're going to solid state drives and Windows 10 that are Windows 7. And this is where I will bring a, if it's a laptop, I will bring a dock that can take a SATA connection and go to USB, hopefully USB 3 because it'll be fast. We will take the mechanical drive out of the laptop or out of the desktop. I will mount it in there. But first, if we're going to Windows 10 and they still have a valid Windows 7 key, we will put the solid state drive in and I will do Windows 10 right to the Fall Creators Update with the media that I created. We'll install it. We'll activate it with the Windows 7 product key. Then I will use FABS Auto Backup 6 Pro to transfer the information from the docked older mechanical drive to the system. That's my process, and it's worked very, very well. And we're going to be doing that on a couple systems next week before Thanksgiving. So I wanted to share that, and I haven't talked about FABS in a bit, and there'll be a link in the show notes. This is where you can back up the data and the settings from a system or transfer it. As a matter of fact, I know last week there was another update and a new version, and I love FABS, and that has saved me so many times, especially with migrating like this on systems. Even if it was the same operating system, hey, it's so much easier. You know, if you got to rebuild a system and you got to working the old drive, that's great. It's when you got to build everything from scratch, like I had to do with this peer server crash. That's a problem. So I still have a lot to do tonight. I got to install QuickBooks, like I mentioned. I have to recommend some big monitors for the design and engineering company that we're going to go with some higher end video cards and some really large multiple monitors, and going over a bunch of options for them. So I have that research that I got to get done tonight. I have a lot to do, but we're going to still have a nice post show, and that's it. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.